Everyone knows, but I wanted to recognize, do we have any other veterans here this morning? Anyone? Okay, we don't have any vets here today. Well, okay then. We're going to go recruit vets, aren't we? Yeah. All right. Well, I was going to recognize any veteran here, but we're all civilians today, and it'd be self-serving to recognize myself, so we'll just move right on into this. Who wrote this or found this? This is a warfare prayer. Who? It did? Joyce brought this? Well, how's she doing? She okay? Well, I'll tell you what. She brought a, this is what I call a warfare prayer. So I want to, let me begin with this. This is unplanned, but powerful. And here's what it says. Jesus, you are my armor. You're my salvation. You're my righteousness. You're my peace. You're my truth. You're the source of my faith. I am kept by your word. You're my very life. I stand this day in total protection from every attack of the enemy. In you, I am strong. In you, I am more than a conqueror. I am the beloved child of Almighty God and of great value to Him. I bind my mind to the mind of Christ. I bind my feet to the path He intends for me to walk. I bind myself to the work of the cross with all of its grace, mercy, healing, love, forgiveness, and dying to self. I loose myself from all lies of the enemy, all confusion and fear. Satan has stolen all he's going to steal from me, and I'm taking back all he has stolen from me in the name of Jesus. I will stand firmly against him, covered by the blood of Jesus. How about that for a prayer? Amen. I'll get us all a copy of this. This is great stuff to pray right here. So bless her heart. You know, I hope she hears this. And bless you, Joyce, for bringing us this. So we'll get some copies of this some way or another and get them distributed if you'd like them, because that's powerful prayer to pray. That's a warfare prayer. So anyway, fantastic. I want to I wanted to tell you, I was telling Evelyn, the military, the VA, they assign you to teams. And there's the brown team, blue team, green team. And then there's the hero or whatever. There's all kinds of teams. And they signed me to the gym team, GEM, the gym team. And I thought, gym, precious stone, that's neat. You know? And so I went in there and I was asking, down on the dock, and I said, I'm on the gym team. Yeah. And said, like precious stone. And he said, no, boy, that's geriatric management. It's like, of all the hero and blue and green, and I really am, I'm on the gym team. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. He said, I don't know why they put you on it. He said, most of them in this team, we're pushing around. And he said, stay in it. They'll take good care of you. And it's like, okay. So anyway, I just, my ego and everything just went, yep. Just slid right under the door. But that's what it is. So I'm on the gym team, the geriatric management team. So there you go. Oh, Lordy. God has a way of keeping your feet right on the ground, doesn't he? I want to give you, this message today, and I don't want you to look at it. I titled it Praying and Praying. Just praying and praying. That's all I knew to do. I haven't brought a message in this in quite a while. It's out of Luke chapter 11 and beginning with verse 5. But let me tell you about this. This is a passage you'll read and you don't pay a lot of attention to. And it's not one that you want, that everybody brings on Sunday morning for a dynamic, knock them down deal. Yet it's a real powerful insight here, and that's why I want to bring it. And it's on praying. And when you talk about praying, for some reason, for whatever reason, just not, see this right here, we just read this prayer. That's why it tied in so much. Here I have a warfare prayer, and we got a message on praying and praying. So God knows what He's doing, right? And He uses joy. See, everybody's ministers. We're all ministers. The ministers of the church are all of you, all of us, everybody. And so He uses joy to bring this prayer to read, to emphasize the prayer is it. Prayer is where it's found. You can read your Bible. You can do everything else. But if you don't pray, and I mean really pray and know how to pray, you're in deep trouble. This is praying that we read right here. And let's talk about praying and praying. And so Jesus uses, I'm using this New International Translation today for this one. And it just seemed to say it well. But He begins in verse 5, and this is what He said. He tells a parable, but illustrating truths and using truths. So we'll get into it and we'll explain it. Then He said to them, Jesus is speaking. He's just finished talking to them about the Lord's Prayer. This is how to pray. And then He says, let me tell you something about praying. This is how it goes in our day. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, pray our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know all that. You can read all this. And then He immediately goes into, but He said, let me give you this parable. And He ties it in. This will help you. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, remember this, because this is all part of His teaching on prayer that day. He said, suppose one of you has a friend. And he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. This doesn't hit us real hard because we're in a different society, but it needs to. And we need to identify, you know, nobody would come to most of our homes at midnight. They would get lead instead of bread from a lot of people, get shot at. But nonetheless, you know, it's just not that way. But even back then, that was not a cool thing to do. And He's using the middle of the night when nobody wants to be disturbed. And in other words, Jesus is saying, let me give you a very inconvenient illustration here, and something just totally inconvenient for everybody. First of all, a friend drops by, and obviously it was late at night on the one person, and he has nothing to feed them, and they've been traveling. That was the whole issue. You got a hungry person, drops in on a friend, drops in on a friend. Most likely unexpected, because if he'd been expected, he'd have had bread. He didn't have anything in his house. So this is unexpected for everybody. So what Jesus is saying here, see, get the insights? Unexpected things happen. Stuff happens. God knows it's going to happen, but we don't know it's going to happen. And so the unexpected is happening to everybody, and He ties it. We miss all this if we're not careful when we look at Scripture. And we say, okay, suppose he has a friend. He goes to him at midnight, says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me. So here's a guy. He's been traveling, and he comes. And this guy, he knew he was coming. He has nothing. So he knows his neighbor probably has something. So he runs over, and he calls to him. And says, I'm in trouble. I need to feed this person. I don't have anything to feed them. And the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. And he said, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness. And if you read and tie this in with some other translations, what it really meant is bold persistence. And NIV didn't quite flesh it out, but it's close enough. But bold persistence. He just wouldn't stop. He kept saying, I need bread, I need bread. I need you to help me out here. Got to feed a hungry person in the middle of the night. But because of that bold persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. How about that? And then he said, I say to you, then we move right into this and brought a message on this just, what, a couple of weeks, a week or two ago. I say to you, ask and it'll be given you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door be open. For everyone who asks receives, everyone, he says, who asks receives, and we've been through this, and he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door be open. This is neat stuff because there's just insights that just start boiling out if you just dig for them, if you pray about them. See, you have to pray for this and ask God, show me what's in this word. I have to do that for these messages, especially on messages, not on messages, but on scriptures that you all, many of you are familiar with. It's like, God, give me insights that I haven't seen before. Show me the depth of this. I need to go deep with it, and take me deeper. Take me deeper. Show me. And then all of a sudden, it's like, look at all the opportunities here. Look at all the things that are putting everybody out. You got a good person that's come in the middle of the night to your house. You don't have anything to eat. You got a good friend over here, but they're in bed already. And this whole scenario is taking place. And you just see how God orchestrates this. And Jesus tells this parable. It's cool stuff. It's always. So let me give you some points here. And the first one is this. No matter what, you remember this, God is always listening. He hears every time you pray. Remember we talked in this message out of Malachi that when the people spoke about the Lord, God made a record of it. That gets my attention. I want you to know how, when you speak of the Lord, God notes it. And so God's hearing everything you pray. He knows. And God, listen to this, God allows situations in our lives to bring us to the prayer chamber. To bring us to the prayer place, whatever your prayer, I call it prayer chamber, that's old-fashioned term. To bring us to prayer, whether it's in your bedroom, bathroom, you know, in the kitchen, wherever you do your praying, maybe you sit outside somewhere, on the porch, wherever, in the pasture, who knows. But wherever it is that you and God really get down with it, God will allow scenarios, He'll allow situations to get you to that place, especially if we get a little lax. If we watch too much of the news, listen too much Facebook, get on YouTube too much, and I'm not knocking any of those. I'm simply saying, look at all the opinions and stuff out there. And it gets to your head. And you don't know what to believe anymore. And so, you know, and we get upset with all this stuff. And God will allow things to happen to say, get your head right, get your mind right. You remember that old movie, Cool Hand Luke? You got to get your mind right, Luke. I don't know why that came to, but anyway, you got to get your mind right, and you got to get your heart right. And there's so many things trying that are competing with my mind and my heart. Aren't they with you? Every time I turn around, it may be finances, it may be health, it may be whatever, allergies. It can be neighbors, be lack of neighbors. It can be whatever, something at work, or whatever it is. And all this competes and it distracts. And, you know, I guess when you come down to it, what is it you think about when you're standing in the shower? What are you rehearsing? It seems like those are those moments, you know. That's why a lot of people take long showers or whatever, because it's not really that they're trying to be that clean. It's that their thoughts are taking them somewhere. I don't know what it is. A shower just seems to send most people's minds off into some place, and we dwell on those things that we haven't resolved. But I have to ask, and because I look at myself, it's like, when that happens, Tony, how often are you thinking about God or His Word or His church or anything to do with Him? Or are you drifted off into the latest political episode? Or the latest whatever, or the latest, gloom and doom prophecy or whatever it is. And it's like, often that. For me, it's like I often drift to something somebody has called and they've got a family issue, they got a problem, and I'm thinking. But it's like, Tony, that's why God then allows things to force you to the prayer table, because you don't go there by yourself often enough. Your mind is on other things. Your heart gets divided, and we all do that. And so, listen, God's always listening. And let me give you some of these points here. Prayer, listen, prayer is a faith relationship. Prayer is a faith relationship. Acknowledging God as your Father. Prayer is not a bunch of words. Prayer is designed for me to build a relationship with God. He doesn't have to build one with me. He's given His Son. He's done everything He can. Jesus died and rose again. God's paid the price. But it's me. I have to build this relationship. God's ready. God's right there. And so prayer is a faith relationship, acknowledging God as my Father. That's why Jesus, now, see how this makes sense? Jesus, and they said in the model prayer, They said, teach us to pray. What is the first thing he said? Pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So prayer is a faith relationship, acknowledging God as my Father. And acknowledge him as the God of the universe, the God of my life, the God of the universe, the earth, everything, everywhere. I acknowledge him first of all and give him honor. And listen, prayer is not, and listen how I say this, prayer is not always a first time answer deal. And I sure don't want to burst too many bubbles, but we all know it by experience. Prayer is not a first time answer deal. You may have to ask some more. How many of us have discovered that? Did you notice? Yes. Did you notice when you think back? And I look at this too when I was first saved and my prayers were so naive and everything. But it seemed like so many prayers were answered just like that. That's because I was a young Christian. And God, see, God's like that. But he wants me to mature. He doesn't want me to stay on the milk all my life and be a babe in Christ. So as to grow me up, he stretches things and he allows things. And he doesn't answer quite as quickly as he did. And that's where a lot of us get confused. And we think, am I out of fellowship? Or is God upset with me? Am I straying from the path? Because my prayers used to be answered so quickly, and now they're not so quickly. And God's saying, no, that's not it. I'm trying to bring you into a deeper relationship with me. And to do that, I'll allow things sometimes longer in your life than you wanted, not to hurt you, but to mature you and grow you into a vibrant spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's all about. You see, we focus on the need, we focus on the issue, and God's focusing on the relationship. And these, everything in life, really, that happens, if you'll let it, it's there to drive you deeper into Christ. And to trust him. And to quit trying to fix everybody and everything yourself. Now, there's a little insight here. I just throw it out. You know, this funny, I've always wondered about this thing. You know, I thought, this is just a little humor for me. Maybe it'll be for you. But this guy answers and says the door is locked when he asks him for help. I could just see this. There's a guy out here. I don't know. I'm thinking two stories, but it's really not. But he's calling out. And this guy said, hey, it's midnight. My children and I, the whole family's in bed. And I've always thought about that. God, everybody in the same bed? All the kids in the same bed with you? What a nightmare. But when you research this, wasn't the same day as it is today. These kids were well behaved back then. And Palestinian, this is Palestinian in their day and time. This was not a made up deal. That's how they slept. It's easier to protect everybody, easier to keep an eye on everybody, and the homes weren't very big. And so everybody slept in the same pallet bed. And so everybody's right there. And those were some well behaved kids, let me tell you. And I'll say this, there were some very patient parents. That's just something I don't know. I couldn't take that. You know, and it's like, and I hear some people say, oh, my kitty sleeps in the foot of my bed, or my puppy jumps up here. And I don't, that's great. But it's like, oh, Tony, if a puppy jumped up on your bed, oh, it'd be dead puppy. You wouldn't even mean to. It would just be automatic. You know, it's like, one night, I don't know what happened, and I was lying there sound asleep, but, you know, and the pillow, there's just, you know, I just stacked pillows, and there was a pillow next to me. Somehow, I rolled over, and that pillow caught it on the edge, and it flopped over and hit me on the side of the head. It fell on my face. Oh, God, you know, you're asleep, and that happens, and I thought somebody was jumped on me. It broken in, and I flew up out of that bed, and I was trying to smash that thing, and all of a sudden I realized you're smashing a pillow. When you come to your senses, it's like, oh, this would be terrible. Same bed. But anyway, in Palestinian days, it was the custom for everybody to be in the same bed. Now, here was the problem. See all the, look at how Jesus wraps this around to make this a very uncomfortable situation. It's not just that the neighbor, the friend, didn't want to give him bread. If he got up to go get that, he has to step over everybody, and he wakes up the entire family. And probably if little kids, the last thing you want to do is wake those kids up. Right? So there's just practical in here that we don't think about. And so the man is doing what most dads would do. I mean, I can't get up, and my family's in bed. And I'm sure he was, you know, I don't know, it didn't say this part, but you can imagine, here's a guy yelling outside, and this guy's going, I can't get up. You know? What, my family's, I barely got these kids to sleep as it was. They were on YouTube half the night. Okay, well, maybe that's a stretch, but you know what I mean. And so it's very, very inconvenient, and it puts everybody out. Why did he use such a parable? What the heck are you talking about, God? Why'd you go that far? He had a reason for it. He wanted to say, if a man asleep at night with his family has to risk waking them all up, has to be so inconvenienced to do this, and finally, the bold persistence of this man pleading with him got him to do that. Probably woke up the kids because he had to go get the bread, but the neighbor got the bread. And Jesus is saying this, look, if that bold, persistent asking caused that man to get up and disturb his whole family and give the bread, how much quicker do you think your Heavenly Father, who never sleeps, will answer your prayers if you'll just stay with them? That's why I was telling this parable, to say, look at this inconvenient situation with human beings, and yet a mere human being overcame all of his frustration, had to get through the kids, do all this stuff, and the guy got the bread. And Jesus then says, ask and it'll be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. Look how this just starts to blossom like a flower in the desert. And you see all the insights. And he's saying, I'm telling you this parable and all the inconveniences of it, all the hassles that this caused to say to you, now you're talking to Father God and he's not in bed, he's not asleep, and he's listening. And he wants you to be boldly persistent. And if he hesitates in answering you, it doesn't necessarily mean no. It might mean maturity. It might mean relationship, and probably does. And God's saying, hey, well, let's use this need of yours that you're coming to me for. I'll meet that, but I'm going to delay a little bit so you and I will spend some quality time together and you get to know me not as a God out in the cosmos, but as your Father living here in your own house. That's what this is about. And this is good stuff. You can, you know, it seems like such a simple passage, and all of a sudden you're saying, whoa, this is like those, these plants in the desert, and they don't bloom hardly ever, but when the right time comes and a little bit of rain that the desert gets, and suddenly things just blossom for a short time. That's what this is. I mean, it's like, boom, it just explodes, and there it is. Second, let me give you one thing. God is always listening. Secondly, God wants you to have faith that he does answer. You know what seeking and knocking is? Why did he say ask and then seek and knock? You ever wondered about that? And we've talked about that. But let me give you another insight on this. We brought a message on a couple weeks ago, but let's talk another little road here to consider. You know what seeking and knocking are? Why did he say seek and knock? He didn't say go do it on your own. Seeking is and knocking is looking for his answer. Waiting for the opportunity. Don't miss it. I know God's going to do it. And you know what it's for? Seeking, knocking is an expectation that your prayer is being answered. I'm looking for it. I know it's coming. That's the kind of faith he wants you to have. I'm seeking it. I'm knocking. I'm looking for the opportunity. I know God's going to do it. It may not be exactly like I want it done, but God's going to do it, so I have to look. I have to knock on some doors and look around. But God's going to do it. So it's an act of faith. Seeking and knocking is an act of faith. It's an expectation that my prayer is being answered, and I'm looking for the answer. It's coming. It's just behind that door over there. I'm seeking it. It's coming. It's on it. But and what happens to a lot of us? Listen, we ask and ask and ask, but we don't seek and knock, and the answer's there, and we don't go. We don't see it. We miss our blessing. We miss the answer. You know why? Because we're pre-programmed in our hearts and minds to believe that God's got to do it a certain way. He's just going to answer it. We've been taught that. We've either caught it or we've taught it, or we've been taught it. Here's how God does things. Don't let anybody tell you this is how God does things. God loves to show us that's not how he does things. You know what I'm talking about. And churches get caught up in this. This is how God will move. And many churches today are not going to let God move, but they're going to have three songs, maybe four, and they're going to have an opening prayer and all that, and then they're going to have three hymns, and then have a message that's monitored and timed, and then it will close out, and it'll be closing prayer, and somewhere in there, God's got to sneak in and move. And it's programmed, you know, and here's where the programming is. I lived it for years and did it for years. Didn't know better. I did it myself. God cannot move. Holy Spirit can do anything different in the service until you finished your message and gave the invitation. Right? That's when God can move. Now, the rest of the time, God, you follow our program and our music and our church service, but now you can move. And we program him right out of the deal. So I have to ask, and I had after all those experiences and getting out of the ministry for a while, that was one of the things God had to reckon with me in my heart about is, you mean church is my body, right? You people, all of us, you, all of us, we're his body. We collectively meet together because he commanded us to. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He wants us to worship him and honor him and all that. And we need the fellowship with him and each other and so forth. But listen to me. He said, you know, this is my body, my church, and yet you give me 2 minutes to work. Think about it. Because we programmed it, and we do it this way, this way, this way, and don't allow him to do something. What if he wants to do something different? And I have to watch it even here. I mean, we're real flexible. We try to be really open. But what if God just wants to do something different one Sunday? Well, I know a lot of places, if you cut a song off or you did something different, you would be shot. There would be a meeting. Committees would meet. The earth would shake. Because we've never done it that way before. And God's saying, yeah, if you keep that up, you know, I'll write Ichabod on the door. Go back in the Old Testament. We talked about that once. Remember what Ichabod means? My spirit has departed. And there's a lot of churches where God's saying, this isn't my church. This is man-made stuff. My spirit's gone. I'm not going to visit you because you don't let me in. We want you here. Come and help us. Come and save us. Come and bless us. Come and use us. Do whatever you want to do, Lord. So anyway, let me get back to this. Because you don't want to stay here all day. I get excited over this stuff. Because listen, we've always needed prayer. But wow, do we need prayer. And we need this kind of warfare praying. And we need that closeness with God. We need to let prayers drive us into God's heart so we can be what God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do, and let him lead us and seek and ask and seek and knock and keep asking until God either says it's not his will or he answers that prayer. Ask for anything. This is 1 John. You won't have this up here. But it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to God's will, he hears us. And the scripture says that if he hears us, we know that we have what we ask of him. So pray. If you're praying it's not his will, he's not going to kill you. He'll just show you and direct you another way. God wants you to ask and keep on asking. He wants you to believe and keep on believing. He wants you to receive and keep on receiving through doing it. But he wants you to grow and keep on growing. Sometimes we have to keep praying. Listen to me. Sometimes we have to keep on praying until we're convinced that God will answer that prayer. You with me? A lot of times, and I prayed myself, but I wasn't quite sure that God would answer it. You ever ask God for a miracle and there's about half of you that's going, nah, I don't know. And God is saying, then I'll let you keep praying till you get really focused on me and really believe. And that's what happens to a lot of us. There's not much more. I'll close here. I know I don't want a message on prayer to be boring. And it's like, but it prayer should not be boring. And I'm trying to make it. Let me give these little insights. These are insights. These are just God's insights on prayer. You ready? Let me give you this. When God waits. Note this down. When God waits. Number one. When God waits, He's preparing you to receive it. He's preparing you to receive it. What's it? The answer. Many times, think about it, I'm asking God, we ask God for something, but we're really not prepared to receive it. And when you ask God for something, the motive should be to bring Him glory through it. Even if it's a new house, new truck, whatever, raise, whatever. Are you going to give God the glory? Is it going to honor the Lord, or you want it for yourself? You see, that's what, and God has to prepare us to receive it so we don't take credit for it, so we give Him the glory. Secondly, when God waits, secondly, He is conditioning your heart to use what He gives you to His glory. He's softening us up. When God waits, thirdly, He's teaching us to be grateful for the answer. And then fourthly, when God waits, He is maturing us spiritually and emotionally. He's taking us from being on the milk and cereal to really getting into the meat of the Word and into a deep meat relationship, intimate relationship with Himself. Let me give you this. Asking God is a matter of faith, not request. It goes beyond, can I have a cookie? It goes to, can I have a relationship with you, God, that tastes better than that cookie? The cookie's there and He knows it. God, I need whatever. But God, before as you do that, can we have a relationship that when you give me that answer, nothing but glory to you comes out of my heart. Nothing but praise, nothing but gratitude. So let me wrap this up. God always hears your prayers, even if you don't think He does. Delay in receiving does not mean no. It means He has something greater and better. The more you pray, the deeper your relationship with God. Let me give you this insight. We pray to receive. God uses prayer to transform. We pray to receive, and God uses prayer to transform. He changes us through the needs that bring us to prayer. He allows the need to get us to come to Him and ask and seek and knock. And while we're asking, He wants to transform us. He knows the need. It says God knows what we have need of before we ask Him. He'll provide it. But what He wants is a relationship and a growing, expanding, beautiful, loving relationship full of grace and honor to the Lord. The point of the parable, as we wrap it up, if a person will give a loaf of bread because of a need, how much more will your Heavenly Father give because of love? Isn't this good? I mean, God is so good. So let your prayers be God's opportunity to bless you with His presence. Let your prayers be in faith. Let your prayers change your life. And let your prayers be answered beyond what you can possibly ask or imagine. And it's good stuff. So when you come calling at midnight, your Father won't be asleep. He won't be in bed. Jesus used the parable to say, if that could happen there, How much more will your Father do for you? And that's exactly what the Scripture says. God is able to do far exceeding, beyond anything we can possibly ask, think, or imagine. So go for it. And keep going for it. And keep going for it. And draw into God. And let God draw into you. And let Jesus Christ fill you to overflowing with Himself. And I can guarantee you the answer when God gives it will be more than you ever possibly imagined. All right. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. God, give us this day, every day, our daily bread. Of you, bread, Jesus, the bread of life. And the bread we need to eat. To live. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. And as we forgive those who sin against us, God, give us the grace to forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, and Lord, don't let us be led into it by ourselves or anybody else. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and all honor to you forever. Father, we love you. We pray the blood of Jesus over us, cleansing us from all sin and protecting us from evil and the evil one. And Lord, I just ask you in this prayer, bless you, your people, each and every one here, and blessings to you, Lord. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you for being here.